Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer podcast, our 19th episode. It's Tuesday, May 15th, 2012. And yes, we are running a little bit late. We had some technical issues that we have now fixed. Thank you to our friend in Australia, Tim. And how are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Only woke up about 15 minutes ago because it's the morning here in Australia, but yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about the day.
Good, good. You may notice that our friend Larry is not joining us today. He actually gave us a little bit of a heads up that he may not make it to our podcast for this episode, and it looks like that is the case. He has some family issues he has to deal with. We certainly both, Tim and I, both wish Larry and his family well as they go through some stuff. And this is going to be a little bit of an unusual podcast. Only that, but certainly not as important as Larry's problems. But Diablo 3 came out today, or actually earlier this morning for both myself and also for Tim's territory. I think the Australia came out. Servers were started at the same time. 3:01 a.m. Eastern time. I don't know what that is in Australia.
That's 5 p.m. here. So I think people could get the game early in the day, but they couldn't actually play it until 5 p.m. So I think that's how it worked.
Yeah, well, that's how it worked, yeah. But that's the least of the problems. The main problem is that Blizzard apparently didn't spend enough money to get enough servers up on Battle.net. And as a result, they have been battling with a number of post-launch issues. I know I've encountered them myself. I have been unable to sign on to Battle.net, and also Blizzard's been taking the servers down for quite a bit in the past several hours in order to fix bugs. I've seen the error 37 message more than I care to. As I try to sign on to Battle.net. I don't know if you've tried the game yet, Tim, but that's what I've seen, and that's what a lot of other people I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't actually tried it, but Error 37 was trending on Twitter around the time of the launch, so obviously there was a lot of people who were experiencing it.
Exactly. Error 37 is definitely going to be the new internet meme. So, you know, I feel bad for Blizzard in a way because this is obviously, I know a lot of people have been waiting for this game nearly 4 years, and to have Blizzard just be, it just seems like they were just totally unprepared for the amount of people. You would think they would get a gander about that based on the pre-orders of the game and boost their servers accordingly, but I guess they just didn't have enough ready to go.
I guess nothing really properly prepared them for what was actually in store.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon.com actually contacted me a few days ago saying that that Diablo 3 was the most pre-ordered PC game on their site ever, even, you know, more so than StarCraft 2 or any of the World of Warcraft games or expansion packs, which usually lead to packs.
Yeah, that's quite a, you know, record for them, I guess.
Yep. So they obviously sold a lot of copies. And so they had experienced all these problems and issues, and you know, this all goes down to Blizzard's insistence that everybody, this doesn't even matter if you wanted to play the single player game, you have to sign on to Battle.net in order to play the game. And I think that kind of insistence is silly. I think this proves the fact that this kind of insistence of this kind of DRM to keep people from playing the single player portion of the game is just going to backfire on them every time.
And it's not stopping piracy, as if you go into like any torrent site, you can find a copy of the game uploaded already. So it's not like it's not like it's actually done anything to prevent pirates. So. Too bad for them. Just annoying legitimate users like usual.
It's annoying. Exactly the fact is that it's not an annoyance. Most people paid $60 for this game. Some people paid even more for the collector's editions of the game, and they're not able to play it. And we're now going on almost a day since the game actually launched. I mean, it's a total screw up, and I'm very disappointed that Blizzard was unprepared for this sort of thing. And not only were they unprepared, but they, again, I think a lot of people would have been happy just to play the single player game and just, you know, start hacking and create their character and start hacking monsters. But a lot of people were not able to do that today, including myself, and that's the tragedy.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just looking on torrent sites right now, and it hasn't been cracked yet, which is surprising. I thought it might have been.
That doesn't surprise me. It hasn't been cracked yet, but I definitely think it's definitely been torrented. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So,
but I think a lot of people will still buy it legitimately, considering the whole status of the game.
Oh, I'm sure people will buy it. I'm sure Blizzard's not going to lose any money off the game. But that's not the point. I mean, this is supposed to be one of the biggest games of the year, not the biggest PC game, exclusive game of the year. And this is just a total mess up on their part. And I'm hoping that Blizzard will do some serious consolation prizes for the folks who have been waiting, to play the game for nearly 4 years and are unable to do so. So,
it's also silly that they didn't stagger the launch across all the territories, because that would have helped out the server load a little bit.
Well, they did kind of. I mean, the European territories actually got the game several hours before the Americas and Australia and Southeast Asia. So they did stagger it in that way. And I think some Asian countries actually got it even before then. They have these three regions. And they staggered the launch between each. I think the main problem was that perhaps the influx of North American, Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia was just too much. Too much in one space. Maybe they should have broken it up into four regions. I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, hopefully they will fix this problem. Post haste. I'm sure they're working very hard. I'm not saying that they're not working very hard on fixing this problem. I'm sure they are.
They've probably been up all night fixing it.
I'm sure. I'm sure they expected at least some problems, but I don't think they quite. It's clear that they greatly underestimated how many people were going to play this game beforehand. So a good problem to have in some ways, a bad problem for the consumer, a good problem for Blizzard. So, I don't know. So, very disappointing. And as with other Blizzard games, you probably won't see an actual review of Diablo 3 for some time because of Blizzard's insistence of basically releasing the game to everybody, including people from the media. We weren't able, people from the media were not able to get an early copy of the game to play on Battle.net beforehand. So, that happened with StarCraft 2 2 years ago, and that's happening here. So don't expect any reviews, at least any reviews from reputable folks until probably for a few days at least.
Yeah. What do you think of the game?
I played the beta, and I've seen the start screen of the full game.
So you still haven't managed to play it yet.
I just haven't managed to play it yet. Yeah, but I played the beta. I mean, the beta was fun, but that obviously was a very brief, slice of the full game. So hopefully hopefully next week I'll give you a full report. So everybody else. I thought I quickly mentioned the fact that some players have not only been successful in playing Diablo 3, but have claimed to have actually beaten it in just a few hours. Now, I am sure that these people have just rushed through the game completely and skipped all the side quests, skipped all the other stuff they want to do, and basically just did a Diablo 3 done quick type thing.
They'd be playing for the title of having beaten it in 2 hours, not actually for the enjoyment of going through and finding all the little secrets and all that. So
right.
You can pretty much discount the people who say you can finish it in 2 hours because it's going to be not
right.
True.
If that's not true, I mean, if you really want to play the game and enjoy it, and you want to go on the side quest, you want to play perhaps as even different characters, because each of the five hero characters is supposed to have a different experience, and of course, the game itself, is randomly generated, so So that kind of thing, you know, the whole, I like finished Diablo 3 in 2 hours. No, you didn't.
You finished a small portion of it in 2 hours.
Exactly.
It just happens to be the main quest.
That's right. Congratulations. You know, go sit down now and let the big boys play the game when they're able to sign on, that is. So,
yep.
Anyway, that was, we've actually had a quite a few major game announcements and news things pop up in the past week since we've been talking about things. One thing I thought we bring up is the fact that Minecraft came out for the Xbox 360 the last week, and believe it or not, it's already sold 1 million copies less than a week after it came out for the Xbox Live Arcade. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising, to be honest.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, the game has already sold nearly 6 million copies on the PC. You know, and you would think there'd be a little bit of a crossover between the PC crowd and the Xbox 360 crowd, but I guess not. I guess this proves that the Xbox 360 crowd really wants to play the game, you know, on their console with the controller as well as on a PC with a keyboard and a mouse. You know, I think, and again, it just shows you that people just love Minecraft. I personally never got Minecraft. I don't know about you. I don't know if you played it or not.
I've played it, like, just briefly, and it wasn't my kind of game. I mean, I love building stuff, but yeah, it just wasn't my thing.
It's just not my thing either, but I can understand the appeal for some people who are very creative and who want to, you know, really get into the game for hours and hours. And I know it's a huge, you know, popular game on YouTube. People like to post, you know, their YouTube videos of people building stuff in Minecraft.
Yeah, and they've made some incredible things like that.
The
Starship Enterprise.
And yeah,
calculators and all that stuff.
Calculators. I think people are, you know, building stuff. You know, other games and TV shows and movies and things like that. So it's pretty, you know, it's definitely a popular game, but you know, it's not my thing. One little minor controversy that's popped up is that the folks, the developers, didn't tell people that the split-screen multiplayer, which is actually exclusive to the Xbox 360 version, can't be played on a standard definition television. And that's gotten a few people upset about that. I kind of sympathize in a way. On the one hand, you can't afford a high-definition television anymore because they're pretty cheap now.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, they've been around for ages. If you haven't upgraded your TV between the time that they've come out and now, you're probably pretty outdated in your tech, so...
Yeah, yeah. These are probably the same people who haven't upgraded from Windows XP yet. So,
yeah.
So on the one hand, you know, you probably should buy another TV. On the other hand, I do think that this kind of feature should have been mentioned beforehand so that people probably wouldn't, people who did have standard definition televisions didn't download it again. So there's that. And, but again, I just think that's pretty incredible that Minecraft has still got this huge hold on a large portion of the gaming populace. And, I'm sure that, Notch is just rolling in Scrooge McDuck money at this moment.
Yeah. Although I can't see how it would be good on the Xbox. Like, I know how it'd be good on the PC with, you know, the keyboard and the mouse, but on a controller, doesn't seem like it'd be as good.
I don't know. I mean, I would happily have to check that out, but I don't know. We'll have to see if that. I mean, I might just download it myself and see if it's any good. And they always have free trial versions, so I can at least get an idea about how good it is. So. You know how last week I was really looking forward to Bioshock Infinite coming out this year, Tim?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, we talked about that in our last podcast, I think. You know, yeah. You guys say, oh, Max Payne 3 is going to be my big top game of the year. Like, oh, I'm going to wait till Bioshock Infinite comes out in October. Nope. Unless you've, haven't been away from the internet for a week, you probably already know that, and Irrational Games announced that Bioshock Infinite will be coming out in the first quarter of 2013.
Very disappointing.
I mean, they actually announced an actual solid release date just a few months ago. And I remember being, you know, being so happy talking about it with you and Larry on the podcast, saying, oh my God, this is so great.
Yeah. And
so,
and they shatter our hearts.
They shatter all of our hearts. And, you know, the best game of 2012 is not going to be coming out in 2012. And of course, they gave the typical explanation of, we really want to make it the best, you know, BioShock Infinite possible, so we want to take a few more weeks. There's actually been some speculation that part of the reason for the delay was that Take-Two Interactive, which is publishing BioShock Infinite on the 2K Games label, didn't want the game to come out in October because they're also thinking about planning to release Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto 5 in October as well. They didn't want two big major releases coming out at the same time. What do you think about that theory?
Well, it makes sense, but from a gamer's perspective, it's a terrible decision if they did decide to do that.
I agree.
They're two separate and completely different mm-hmm. games, and I think that most gamers will play both or one or the other depending on their preference, no matter when it comes out. I mean, if both games come out in October, most gamers will pick up both. So
I agree. I mean, this is not one of those. I think this is one of those things where, you know, some accountants came in and said, well, we have these two big PC these games coming out, you know, we can't release both, you know, that'll split the market and we won't get enough money for both. And so they said, okay, we'll push BioShock Infinite to 2013. So I really think this is one of those games that if you're going to buy both GTA 5 and BioShock Infinite, and I am, I'm going to get both. Yeah, I'll spend $120, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll just have to I may not be on the same day, but I'm definitely going to try and get both, you know, before the end of the year to play the games. So,
yeah, even staggering them by month would be fine.
Yeah.
Like if it was really that much of a problem that gamers aren't going to, you know, buy it, I'm sure that, you know, gamers will play it, you know, say Infinite in October and then Grand Theft Auto, you know, 5 in November. I mean, that's not so hard to do.
No,
I guess they just didn't decide to do it.
I guess not. Again, like I said, this sounds like more of an accountant thing than a creator thing. And I'm sure that the folks in Irrational Games will appreciate, you know, having a few more months to work on the game. I'm not saying that, you know, they won't use that to their advantage, but it's still disappointing that we won't get to play the game. So, anyway, so much for that.
Yeah, and there was also Tomb Raider that was delayed as well.
The Tomb Raider reboot. I wasn't quite, you know, as anticipated about the Tomb Raider reboot simply because I'm just not a big fan of the Tomb Raider franchise as a whole. But yeah, that was announced earlier this week that the big reboot, which was actually announced back in December of 2010 to come out in the end of 2012, is being pushed back again to the first quarter of 2013. We're supposed to see it at E3, so hopefully, you know, we'll get to see some kind of improvement based, you know, I don't think we've actually seen the game since E3, so that'll be something new. And that's something else about BioShock Infinite that I won't mention. They're not going to be showing the game at E3 this year or at Gamescom in August. I suspect, yeah, they decided to just, you know, hunker down and work on the game. Something tells me that they might show it for PAX Prime, but that's just me. We'll have to see. You know, PAX Prime is actually looking like it's going to be a pretty awesome
show.
When
is that?
The last day of August and the first weekend of September.
Okay.
That's the Labor Day weekend for those of us here in the U.S. That's in the course in Seattle. They've already sold out. If you're thinking about going to PAX Prime in Seattle, well, too bad, because they sold out of those tickets quick. They launched some tickets in late April for like a few hours, and then they said that their ticket online ticket provider didn't work out, so they shut those tickets down and then launched it a couple of weeks later, and they sold out in a few hours. So that's all. So there's going to be a lot of people going to PAX Prime. Hopefully, I'll be able to get a chance to go. So there's still something else that actually that was announced earlier last week was that Valve is going to be holding their second Dota 2 Invitational Tournament at PAX Prime this year. They held the first one at Gamescom, but this time they're going to launch it at PAX. And once again, they're going to be giving out a $1 million grand prize to the winning Dota 2 team. They're inviting 16 teams as they did last time. So that's a lot of money.
Yep.
For, you know, I think the team's like number like 5 or 6 people. So that's, you know, even splitting between 5 or 6 people, that's still a pretty good tall for a few days of work.
Yeah, so, I'd be happy with that, I reckon.
I'd be happy with that too. Another interesting Dota agreement was announced a few days ago. You may remember several months ago that Valve and Blizzard actually had a little bit of a tiff concerning the Dota 2 trademark. Valve trademarked the Dota 2 for their game, but Blizzard basically put up disputes, basically saying, "Hey, the Dota was based on Warcraft 3. Anything mod that was based on Warcraft 3 is basically ours, you know, as part of our, you know, end user license agreement." So I guess, you know, so I guess the two people got together, unlike other companies and game developers that we could mention, and talked about it like civilized people, and basically came to an agreement that basically said Valve can use Dota 2 for their game, and Blizzard will rename a game. I'm not sure if it's a game or a StarCraft 2 mod or a standalone game. They were calling it Blizzard Dota, and now they're going to call it Blizzard All-Stars. So... And they'll also allow anyone who makes StarCraft 2 or Warcraft 3 mods that have the Dota name to continue to use that name. So I think this is just a way of saying, you know, this is how, you know, normal, reasonable people are supposed to, you know, work these things out without prolonged court and lawsuit battles. So yeah. Everybody wins, I would think.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish we would see that more often. I mean, we're seeing, you know, we just posted, a couple of lawsuits posted today. Did you hear, Nova Logic? Have you heard of Nova Logic, Tim? Have you played any Nova Logic games, the Delta Force games and things like that?
Oh, I've heard of them. I don't think I've played them. Maybe I have.
They're pretty fun. I've played my share of Delta Force games, and they were best known for, you know, having these massively huge outdoor levels, you know, that were way beyond you know, what most games were capable of doing, because they used the voxel game engine. You know, not quite the greatest game engine in terms of looks, but in terms of, you know, creating these massively huge outdoor levels, it was, you know, it was the best for that time. So anyway, it was revealed today that Nova Logic actually filed a lawsuit against Activision. Basically, Activision used the Delta Force name in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 to describe some of their missions, and actually even used a logo that's very similar to the logo that Nova Logic trademarked for its Delta Force games. And so Nova Logic is basically saying, we tried to put them a cease and desist order. They ignored us, so now we're going to take them to court.
Fair enough. It does. The logo, looking at the logo, does seem sort of familiar to something I saw in a Call of Duty game. So
yeah.
I think they might have a bit of a case here.
I think they do. I think they do. And they also point out that the U.S. Army technically has never acknowledged that the Delta Force team exists, even though it does. They don't actually call it that. So Nova Logic basically owns the name Delta Force. So, and I guess Activision thought that they could, you know, basically get away with calling some elements and even the logo in Modern Warfare 3 Delta Force. So we'll see how that happens, how that works. But I think they actually have a good case to be made here. Wanted to quickly mention sales of U.S. retail games in the U.S. in April 2012. I don't know if you saw this, Tim. They're down. Not only are they down, they're way down again. 32% total for the combined software, hardware, and peripherals in comparison to a year ago. I mean, that's like the fourth straight month in the U.S. that we've seen double-digit, you know, percentage declines in retail games. Now, of course, you know, the MPD group, which handles these surveys, says, you know, if you count revenues from things like downloadable games and used games and rentals and things like that, it's much higher. But the truth is that people are not buying, new disc games anymore. And I think we've talked about this ad nauseum in previous podcasts, and this just proves it again, that, that people are staying away from these big, retail games and moving on to downloadable games like Minecraft, for example.
Yeah. They need to update their analytic gathering measures here, because I know that a lot of people just choose to download, and it's not being included in these statistics, and it's sort of giving the game market, a lookout that may not actually reflect what's happening. I mean, if it says it's down 32%, it may not be when you add in all the sales online. So
yeah, I take quick pains when I write these articles saying this is just for retail games. But, at the same time, we've had the fact that we've had this kind of a massive drop, instead of a gradual drop, shows that the market has changed so quick, and people have really embraced the downloadable game model, not just for PC games, which has been this way for a few years now. Try to find a boxed PC game in stores, except for Diablo 3 and maybe the Sims game. You can't find them.
Yeah, the sections for PC games are really small these days.
Yeah. It's all downloadable here, but now it's really starting to hit the console space with games like Minecraft and Trials Evolution, selling like hotcakes as downloadable games for consoles. And that's probably going to continue. So,
and of course, they have the games on demand service at Xbox, and they have the PSN where you can download your games there. So,
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So all that's happening. It's like I said, it's a changing marketplace, and I think that some companies, companies that have been, perhaps too devoted to the retail sales model will probably, have to just quickly or go down the drain. I think this is what's happened to companies like THQ and Sega, which have had huge losses and are in serious financial trouble, because people are not paying to get games of them. So we'll see what happens with that sort of stuff.
Then again, Sega and THQ haven't exactly made amazing titles. I mean, except for THQ, say Saints Row the Third.
Right.
It's not really been that huge, hype for their games. So that would also contribute to their losses, I guess.
Right. Wanted to quickly mention a story that popped up last night. 38 Studios, the company that is sort of behind the release of Kingdoms of Alamar Reckoning. And I say sort of because 38 Studios actually acquired the company that made the game, big huge games, and then released their game. They're in a bit of a spot of bother right now. Here's the situation. When they asked the state of Rhode Island in the U.S. for a $75 million loan so they could move their headquarters from Massachusetts to Long Island, and in return they promised they would create 450 jobs. This happened in 2010. So it's 2012, and the game they're supposed to be working on, a fantasy MMO with the codename Project Copernicus, isn't out, hasn't been released, hasn't even been officially announced, isn't even probably even close to being coming out, and now it looks like the folks, the taxpayers in the state of Rhode Island may have to, take a big old, have to pay out all of these loans that 38 Studios now can't afford to pay back. And I heard about this a couple of years ago, Tim. I was like, there's no way that these people are going to get their money back. I can't believe that these, I can't believe that this government is so gullible that they're going to get $75 million of loans to an untried, company with, they have some people who have worked on games like this before. That I'm not saying that they don't have some veterans, but it was formed by a guy who has no experience in game in-game industry, Curt Schilling, who is a baseball player for the Boston Red Sox, in case people don't know, a very good baseball player. And I'm sure he's a very good baseball player. I'm sure he's made a lot of money from that sport. But does that make him the head of a game company? I don't think it does.
It's not really a skill that crosses over well to the game making space, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a fan of MMO games. He's been a longtime fan of games like EverQuest and World of Warcraft. You know, but I'm a fan of games too. But does that make me competent enough to launch my own game business and ask for government help to help fund it? I would be laughed at if I were asked that kind of deal. And yep. But because I honestly think because you know it was Curt Schilling and he has a known name and people really like you know he was has a lot of baseball fans. They were swayed. It's okay. We'll give you $75 million. And I knew this would happen, Tim. I knew this would happen the minute this agreement was made. I thought, oh, they're going to lose all their money. And it looks like that's what's going to happen.
Does seem like a dodgy deal, and it has turned out dodgy.
Yeah. They're according to the published reports from an island news sources, the governor's office is trying to work with 38 studios so they can continue to, stay afloat, but they're not saying what they're trying to do. So we'll keep our eye on that and report back on that. There's an interesting little rumor that popped up this morning from a website I've never heard of. But it actually sounds kind of reasonable to me. They're saying that the next Xbox that Microsoft is going to be developing will be called Xbox 8 in reference to Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, which are both supposed to be coming out in 2012. This doesn't sound totally out of the ballpark to me, Tim. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I guess it makes it, with the other Microsoft products calling it Xbox 8, I mean, it would be easy to relate it to Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, if the products are relatively similar. But I guess I have the problem with they haven't actually made 8 Xbox products. I mean, they've made 8 Windows products and 8 Windows Phone products, but they've only actually made 2 Xbox products. So it sort of seems like a massive skip between, in the names.
Well, they could also say that it was a massive skip between Xbox and Xbox 360. So I thought that was a weird name from the outset. Still do, for that matter. I'm still not, totally thrilled on the Xbox 360 name. So
yeah. Oh, well. I don't know. But definitely seems legit, though. Well, at least it could happen.
I'm not saying, it doesn't sound like it's totally out of the question. I think that one of the arguments they're making about this case is that it will be the 8th generation hardware console total in the entire history of game consoles. That's how they're going to try to justify it. Again, if this is all true, but again, Microsoft has been trying for the past year and a half to consolidate a lot of its divisions and have them interoperate and have different, we've talked about, the Xbox Live dashboard now having a more of a Metro interface, similar to, Windows Phone 7 and of course Windows 8 coming out later this year. And of course, Xbox Live is supposed to be integrated in some way with Windows 8, although they haven't exactly said how that's going to work yet. So it looks like, they're trying to get all of these, of course, Microsoft has been saying that they're going to be integrating all these, these different, products into one thing for a long time anyway, but they just haven't gotten around to it. But now it looks like I think they're trying to really try and get their, PC, mobile, and, Xbox consoles all really linked together to form one unit. So, so Xbox 8, not really thrilled about the name, but also not really, surprised. Wouldn't be totally surprised if Microsoft goes that route.
No, if they're going to put a number after the name Xbox, it'd probably be 8. I mean, they're not going to call it Xbox 3. So,
no.
Yeah, it has some credibility, I think.
Yeah, it has some credibility. So, anyway, Did you ever play the any? This is probably before your time, Tim. Did you ever play any of the Tex Murphy games?
Nope.
Nope. Have you heard of them?
No, I haven't heard of them either.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you can actually go on GOG.com and download all five games. These are the Tex Murphy adventure games that were created by Access Software. These are well-regarded adventure games, probably best known for their full-motion video sequences. It takes place in a futuristic San Francisco, but it has a character that's basically based on the 1930s, detective, crime noir type of stuff. And they're fun games. They're very fun games, and I would definitely, they're definitely of their time with the full-motion video, having said that, those games are definitely some of the best games of that genre that were released. So Access Software actually released five of them before they went out of business, or actually, I think they were actually bought by Microsoft and Take-Two Interactive. But now the two creators of the Tex Murphy franchise have launched a new Kickstarter campaign to fund a revival of the Tex Murphy series. And I'm actually just looking, trying to bring up the Kickstarter page at the moment. There we go. How many have they gotten so far? $116,000, already in the first day of their $450,000 goal. That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
There's obviously some Tex Murphy game fans out there who want to see this game come out. So I'm actually looking forward to playing. I actually think that full motion video could actually work better now than it could in the 1990s, where it was all pixelated and kind of cheesy looking. And
Yeah.
but now I now with with HD technology, with 1080p TV screens and monitors and and better video technology just generally being available, I think they could actually work better than those old 1990s games. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, as I mentioned last week, if the Kickstarter phenomenon to fund games ends tomorrow, we'll still end up with a bunch of cool games that wouldn't have not been funded beforehand.
Yeah, there's always
So,
great stuff coming out of there.
yep, I was thinking about actually writing an editorial for this weekend about how Kickstarter is basically the next great game publisher, and
Yeah.
offers game developers a chance to, a set of deals that most other regular game publishers can't. Full creative control. They only take a little bit off the top. They don't try to take any of the royalties when the game actually comes out. If you have a good game and you can get your funding based off, it's a win-win for any developers who can gets that done.
Yeah.
I guess we'll quickly end this a little bit, but I wanted to quickly mention games that are coming out next week. As Max Payne 3 obviously is going to be, I'm going to try and pick up Max Payne 3 for the Xbox 360 this week, and I know that
Yeah, I should be.
I know you wanted to get a review copy, but you weren't able to, unfortunately.
No, I heard actually from a couple of other people who run game sites that they weren't handing out a huge number of copies this year, only to some specific publishers. So I've heard there's a bit of problems
Yeah.
getting those, but I didn't manage to get one myself. But that's not going to stop me from playing it. I'm going to pick up a copy today, and yeah, hope to have
Cool.
some opinions by next week's podcast.
All right, that's awesome, and I'll definitely have some opinions on Diablo 3 as soon as I sign up for it. So,
Yep.
next week we're going to be having Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier for both the Xbox 360 and the PS3. The PC version won't be coming out until a couple of weeks later. So that'll be coming out from Ubisoft. Actually, kind of looking forward to seeing how that game turns out. I'm actually more of a fan of the Rainbow Six franchise than the Ghost Recon series. I'm all for near future, cool shoot 'em up games. That's all for me.
Exactly.
Also coming out is an interesting PlayStation 3 exclusive game called Sorcery. This is a game that's coming out exclusively for the PlayStation Move controller. And basically, it's a fantasy game where you use the PlayStation Move wand to you know cast spells and create potions and other items. And it was actually pretty impressive when Sony showed it off at E3 last year. And it's finally coming out next week, so we'll see how that game turns out.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does. And finally, in terms of retail games, Dragon's Dogma is coming out for both the Xbox 360 and the PS3. That's a Capcom game. Again, this is a new action franchise. But the main thing that I'm actually looking forward to for this game, at least for the Xbox 360 version, is that it'll allow people to get a demo code, so you can download the Resident Evil demo later on. So I suspect that will probably be a big reason to pick up the game just for that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm surprised that I haven't actually heard much about that game, so I think I'll have to research it a little bit.
Yep. Also coming out for PC version is Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. This game didn't exactly get the greatest reviews ever for the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions, although I think it actually sold pretty well in Japan. I think they actually said they sold about 3 million copies so far since it came out. So really? It did pretty well. Yeah. Also, the PC version of Alan Wake's American Nightmare, the game that came out for the Xbox 360 downloadable version in February, that's coming out for the PC on May 22nd, a week from now. So I'll actually be checking that out and hopefully getting some impressions about that. And I guess that's about it. So busy game. If you are a game player and picked up Max Payne 3, you probably enjoyed yourself. But if you're like me and try to play Diablo 3, you probably have some issues.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. But anyway, so that will do it for this somewhat abbreviated version of the Neo Gamer podcast. We will be back next week, hopefully with Larry in tow. And I'll probably be talking more about my plans for E3, which is coming out 3 weeks from now. And again, we will have a sponsor for that, our coverage, War Inc. Battlezone, and we'll probably be talking more about that in future podcasts. But until then, this is John Callahan. Thank you again for listening for our podcast, for those of you who are streaming this live, and thank you again for those of you who are listening to this via recording. Tim will be posting up the recording very soon. But until then, this is John. Thank you again to Tim for all of his hard work.
No worries.
And we will see you next week. Until then, bye-bye, and hopefully see you on the Battle.net servers.
Yeah, definitely. Catch you later.